Start first of all by adjusting your motivation and thinking that you're here in this occasion to listen to this most extensive and profound teachings of the Great Vehicle. And the reason why you're present and you're here to listen to these teachings is because you aspire to be able to benefit sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mothers in the past are as vast as the vastness of space. For their sake, you set as your goal, you aspire to reach the precious state of perfect and complete enlightenment, the state that is characterized by the full development of all positive qualities, by the total eradication of all negativity. So thinking like that, please set this as your goal and adjust your motivation accordingly. From which he started tonight by quoting Arya Shantideva, who has actually stated that the teachings of the Buddha is the ultimate medicine to establish happiness of sentient beings. When we examine the different types of migrations, we examine different types of sentient beings, we can always categorize them in two main groups: those that fall into the fortunate migrations and those who fall into the unfortunate migrations. In the fortunate migrations, mainly we mention humans and gods, and in the unfortunate migrations we mention, of course, the animals, the hungry ghosts and the hell beings. And there are different types of suffering that is experienced by each type of those sentient beings. There is suffering which seems to be experienced right now, but also there is suffering which is experienced in the future, long-term suffering. And similarly, there is happiness to be experienced in the short term and happiness that can be extended for a long time further in the future. And Arya Shantideva actually states very clearly that the method that we have for eliminating the different types and levels of suffering and for establishing not only temporary but also ultimate and happiness in the future is the teachings that were given by Buddha Shakyamuni. And when we talk about those teachings, of course, we can divide them into categories. The first one is the transmitted teachings, and of course the comprehension of these transmitted teachings that exist within the continuum, within the minds of individuals, is called the realization teachings.
我觉得你这个就按照个电报你有吧，这老板有那个嘛，上那样。我就东北当兵，那么你对龙岛特别当年都上完那样。我觉得龙哥电报是绝对就电路什么的。我觉得东北电报的地就下，他把什么话也对，俺去电路什么就去年的，东北电报那不是伢们的地上啊。我觉得电报那样个，确实下不得西。
That's actually the Master Vasubandhu that has given us, has made this classification between the transmitted and realized teachings. And it says that when we talk about the transmitted teachings, we talk about the teachings that make up the three pitakas. And when we talk about the realized teachings, we're actually talking about the internalized practice that we do. And this practice comes down to the three higher trainings. The path that actually leads us to liberation and enlightenment is the path that applies those three trainings.
What you did in the Yendu, what you did, Hapa Hapa, some song at the Jew, Karasago, Gona, Hapa, song at Shuadi, Shuruva, Yon, what you did, Tingin, Zandan, Shirabdon, what you did, the Magi Japonga, Tamlazo, but in the Yuadi, what you did, the Havasanga, Consun, the Yuadi, Yenayon, Kanondi,
ཁྱི ཕྱད མམ གསྲ 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 གས
And
when we mention the realized teachings, we say that eventually they come down to the three higher trainings. And there is a particular meaning into this word higher. They're not just three trainings, they're higher trainings. And the word is put there in order to make the distinction between trainings that we find within Buddhism and trainings that we can find in non-Buddhist traditions. It is true that non-Buddhist traditions only also talk about the development of concentration, the development of wisdom. They talk about abandoning non-virtuous actions. So in one way or another, of course, they mention these three types of trainings, but the thing that is missing from them is the right motivation. Within the practice of Buddhism, what we say that what makes these trainings to be higher trainings is the particular motivation, the aspiration to reach the state of liberation or to reach the state of enlightenment. And when one engages in the study of the three pitakas, when one applies oneself into the three trainings, with this particular aspiration, eventually one sets as one goal to achieve a higher rebirth, to achieve a physical basis of the body of a human or a body of a god. But the reason why such a basis is aspired or is set as a goal is because it is understood that such a basis is actually the best basis for practicing the Dharma. And on the basis of having attained such a particular type of existence, then eventually one can follow paths that will either lead to liberation or to the attainment of the state of Buddhahood.
Or you then do the no see or that sounds are you dinner.
Now, we talked about the three pitakas, and following that we mentioned the three trainings, and there's actually a way of linking those three groups of three things. When we talk about the three pitakas, we identify them as being, first of all, the Vinaya pitaka, then we have the Sutra pitaka, and finally we have the Abhi pitaka, which has to do with cosmology and other higher trainings. And these are actually related to the three types of training. So the higher training of ethics is the one that is related to Vinaya pitaka. The higher training in concentration is the one that is related to the Sutra pitaka. And the higher training of wisdom is the one that is related to the Abhi pitaka.
Ojuda, Dinayan, Dayandu, Juda, Ojulava, Trim Julava, Oda, Tenshi's origin, Tombadino, Dervadino, Yambayandu, Ojuda, Ju Kawungin on the Oda, Dervi Jandi, Oda, Lava, and the Karzego, Lava Trim Rita, Dino Samgano, Ojuda, Dervadino, Gonza, Togdingi, Oda, Lava Sheriff Julava, Tenshi's origin, but Tila. Ojida Kawungin Noni, Vamada Parseni, Ojida, Hava Sherabji Lavatanji, Sorishini Tomba Denuga Constant Dingi. Oda Denil Hava Dingans and Jilavati, Tanji Sorishini Tomba Denu Dela, Ojida Mumba Kongavadan, Ojida Juri, Semi Tanjudi. Da Karzego, Lapa Sheriff Jilava, then you saw Jibba Berenjid on the Zutikon and the Dingy. What you that in Raji Marajan Kawunga did that, denosum Kuama do a meeting.
The Sheriff Jilava Dubeki and Dubakaraka.
The Omada Parseni, what you that, Denida, the Semi Tenju Kawungin on its Sema Namdir, the Anju Karzego, that Lapa Sheriff Jil, the Karisigo
Tinga Singalava.
The Samanam Ridian, the Oda, Omadan Parjan, some data, Constigan to Dini. What you that, the name Mumba Gonva, the Mumba Goma, and G. Da Neri Mumba Goma, the Omadan, Zuji Jondi, Oda Mumba Dino Ganondan Dini. What that did you do that, Kawama, what did the Nusum Ganondan do? I did in the ending.
Tinga Singalava. Right, so Ramshi was actually mentioning particular texts that would fall in these categories. And as we say, when texts that fall into the category of Vinaya, texts that talk about discipline and rules of discipline, they're actually related to the higher training of ethics. Now, when we talk about the higher training of wisdom, you would find... when we were talking about the first category of the teachings of Vinaya, it is important to stress here that there are texts that are mainly teaching about things about the rules and the ethics that needs to be followed. Now, coming now into the category of the higher training of wisdom, again into that we would have mainly texts that are dealing with the middle way view, with the Prajnaparamita text, with valid cognition, the commentaries on valid cognition, and when we talk about, also we would have texts such as the higher Abhidharma, the lower Abhidharma, and so forth, mainly, as we say, mainly these categories.
ojida Ojuda, the new Lava Ri, Lava Dingan, Ri, Lava Dingan, and Jilava, Haba Sharab Ji Lava Tenji Tsori Chini Tombe Chadi Ngomba Denuga Ngomba Denuga Ri Ngomba Denuga Kondan Oda Deni Lava Tengan Ji Lava Tenji Tsori Chiba Chadi Oda Dedan Denuga Kondan Tawiyadi Ti Tenra Jina Hondi Chini Da Yudini.
Once again, Rinpoche was going through these divisions of texts and how they relate to the three higher trainings, again stressing that these are mainly the categories that are represented by these particular categories of
texts. ジュオダソテルジラサバダドンバソヨアリオダデニジュジョンジュセンビジュデノニマルソンジョアディジュダジョンジュセンビドンバサタンジュジニシシルラサバイワリモジジョンリソンジョアゴゴカサタンオジュチェジェオンブジラサバティンダカンガゴチャディオジュダンデルデノゴコアタウディニ おだてにじゅうてんげんじゅうんごにいなさらむべてんげんぜせなちるむせなじでおまそいなせじじなんじゅるせなおだてそうかんがじゅうてんげんじゅうはぶかんぜんどばいんどじゅうだんりんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんんん
Now, when we come to examine the teachings that we have in Tantra, we can also see how teachings and different practices of Tantra will come under under the divisions of the three higher trainings. So, first of all, when we talk about Tantra, it is important to understand that we have a number of vows that are always assumed, vows such as the vows of individual liberation, the bodhisattva vows, and within that we have the 18 main ones and the 46 secondary ones. We also have tantric vows, again main and secondary ones. So this presentation of the vows that are assumed within Tantra, they would fall in the category of the training or higher training in ethics. Then when we look into the practices of Tantra that we do, examining the lower Tantras, we see that the first stage of our practice is yoga with signs. If we're practicing highest yoga Tantra, we will be practicing the generation stage. And these practices are considered to be practices that fall under the higher training of concentration. And again, they are considered to be a subcategory of the Abhipitaka. Now, we come to the second level of practices that we can do within Tantra, which in the lowest Tantras will be described as the yoga without signs, and in the highest yoga Tantras it will be described by the name completion stage, and this actually constitutes the higher training of wisdom. And when we present these three higher trainings, we usually start by presenting, first of all, the higher training of ethics. It is important to understand that there are certain ethical rules that the bodhisattvas need to abide by those. And this practice of the in ethics, in morality, actually acts as the basis. On the basis of that, one can start build on and move on into the second higher training, which would be the higher training of concentration. And then, having developed that, one can move into the third one, which is the higher training of wisdom. And in this particular case, that would involve meditation or analysis on the selflessness of phenomena. And of course, this type of meditation, this type of analysis cannot take place unless concentration is developed prior to that. Nevertheless, we need to understand that the first type of training, which is the training in morality, is the basis for everything else. The same way that you need to have a very strong basis, you need to have solid foundation if you want to build a house. In a similar way, if you want to progress into developing concentration and wisdom, first of all, you must have your ethics, your morality in place.
Ojuda dinda yinba yindu, ojuda nju, haba tsunam ju lava si ju di rongu, ta kong yina go sambu, ojuda shishin terwa jing duya gu chitu lava samdi yindi ngi. Ti nong ni, ju haba tsunam ju lava si ju di kam ni, ju chu nyam ni jing yi ga mati, lu ga kanshu ta nga ga kanshu ni soor mara, ju shishin terwa chavya ga lapsha ga ramba soor ti ten shangi.
Now, these types of higher trainings, actually, they are high trainings that need to involve all three doors of our activities. Activities are our body, our speech, and our mind. But we see that when we examine Dharma practitioners, we see that mainly this higher training into ethics is a training that involves activity of the body and the speech, mainly these two. And after these two have been, let's say, regulated by the training of ethics, then one moves into the development of the higher training of concentration and the higher training of wisdom. And what we're doing in that, you will see that what we try to do is to develop this single-pointed concentration of the mind, and then on the basis of that we can do some analysis in order to develop our wisdom. So already we understand from the names of the terms that the later two types of training have to do mainly with the mind, with mental activities. So this is the order of the development of these types of trainings. It is actually mentioned in the Sutra of Individual Liberation that one has to put effort into taming the horse of the mind. And in order to tame the horse of the mind, you need to have the beat. The beat is this mental parts that come into the mouth of the horse. And the reason why we need to have the beat is in order to gain some sort of control over the animal, right? You can't allow the horse to go whichever direction it goes. So it is mentioned there, and it is explained how one needs to gain control and be able to direct the mind towards the right direction. And as a preliminary for that, one needs first of all to regulate and gain some sort of control and discipline over the physical and the verbal activities. And the idea is that, first of all, you need to discipline the mind. And after you discipline the mind, you can actually do all sorts of things with your mind, right? It is like the horse and the rider. If you have a horse which is untamed, first of all, the horse needs to be tamed, needs to be disciplined. And as the rider and the horse develop this relationship, you can see that then the rider can decide how to move around with the horse. The rider can decide to run fast with the horse, to make it go slow, to go to the right, to the left, to do all sorts of things with the horse. And eventually you can see that you can have riders who can actually perform all sorts of acrobatics as they're riding the horse. And once you have reached in this state, it shows not only have you disciplined the mind, not only have you developed your concentration, and you're not falling off the saddle every time that the horse is galloping, but you can also perform acrobatics, which is like the development of wisdom on the basis of the mind. It is said that if you really want to tame and utilize your body, your speech and your mind, prior to that, you would have to rely on the three pitakas. You would really have to study those, to analyze those. And if you can develop a good understanding of that, a good study basis on that, then you can start meditating, which is the next level into that. And as you can start meditating, you can meditate on the different levels of the meaning. Initially, you would start by meditating on the interpretative meaning. But the more you meditate, the more you familiarize your mind with that, you will be allowed to go deeper into the meaning, and eventually you'll be allowed to generate realizations on the deeper meaning of this subject. So this again shows us, let's say, the stages of development of the mind, the stages of gaining control over all activities. Now, as I say, first of all, one needs to study the three pitakas. Eventually, one needs to apply oneself into the development of the three higher trainings. And this is how one will start engaging in the practice of Dharma. And as the Kadampa Lamas have said, whatever activity you do, even if you were for one single session to simply listen to the teachings, reflect to the teachings, or even meditate on the teachings, there are two things. one to do at the beginning and one to do at the end. So the most important thing to do at the beginning is to set one's motivation, and at the end it is important to do the dedication. Now, as we say, the first important action at the beginning is to set one's motivation. And it's important to decide to set the motivation properly straight from the beginning. To explain that, we need to say that, for example, if one decides that whatever activity one does, one is going to dedicate the virtue of that activity so that not only oneself, but also all other sentient beings will eventually be able to reach the state of liberation, or even further than that, one will be able to completely, oneself and all other sentient beings will be able to completely eliminate all negativity and reach the state of Buddhahood. If you think like that from the beginning, whatever virtue you generate, it becomes a cause for liberation and also becomes a cause for the state, for reaching the state of enlightenment. So it's very important actually to begin one's day by setting one motivation. And when we say to begin one's day, we mean that as you wake up in the morning, it's very important to set your motivation and spend a few minutes thinking that what you want to do in this day. So as you wake up in the morning, you should think that it is very fortunate that you have made it through the night. The fact that you're alive, that you're seeing a new day, it is the result of the kindness of your own Lama, which is as precious as a jewel. So due to the kindness of the Lama jewel, you're alive today, and you can engage in different activities, whatever activity you do, whether it is a Dharma activity or whether it is a worldly activity. Decide that you're doing it with the ultimate aim of attaining enlightenment, not only for your own self, but also for the sake of all other sentient beings. And if you set your motivation like this from the beginning of the day, as you start your day, whatever activity you do, whether it is an extensive activity or whether it is a very small action, all of this will become the cause towards this enlightenment or for the sake of all sentient beings. So this is the importance of setting the motivation.
我觉得你他的大几个，同他你来下班，你自己的立刻就穿了，光的是弄完样的，你想出几个下班人呢？这个马家港对了，这个东着我家呢。我在敌人个马人一立刻的路过跟修个家，就我个跟修个家，一个上路当下个家，我这个就是刚刚家里人呢，这个六万的当的将有还有，马六万的将上，但是六马上光的我，下边跟着你下班就不。 我就给他点的，上年你们就给他要了当呀当，要几当过过，年把几个，我得点的，你妈几个就给就几万点，全部就买到没呢。对嘛了，然后几万买一把，然后就什么也他们就上级投下过，七头，我那边倒闭嘛了，几头，我但我把点可是没没个事，我把点我把鞋把我。 我当我三个，然后就什么他们去，第七到我下班上班的，然后人就这边当不，当班那个几到呢，几到上了，等于我也呢，我就本来就我说，你妈进来老了，就我准备就马上麻将呢，我就打的，这个什么钱有多交个，我看看哪一下子还能行，马上打电话马上给，这个电话有点的，这个应该有的。
Now, so we say it's very important at the beginning of the day to adjust your motivation like this. And let's say that you have the opportunity to engage in dharma, some dharma activity during the day, even if it is for a very small time, a very small activity such as just prostrating one or two times, physical activity, or just reciting just a few mantras, verbal activity, or just going for refuge, generating some faith, which is mental activity. Even if you do just a few minutes during the day, nevertheless, you're generating some virtue, and this virtue is going to will be eventually used or go towards to the ultimate goal that you have set according to your motivation. Now, you might not have, as we say, the time to engage extensively in dharma activities because you might be someone who needs to have a worldly job, an ordinary job. But as you're engaging in this ordinary job, Rinpoche was saying, I can imagine that most of you would have the opportunity at least to recite a few mantras quietly and quickly as you're doing your job. In any case, whatever actions you have done during the day, it is important to remember all those at the end of the day, just before you go to sleep. It is as if you are taking stock, right? So you're remembering what you have done during the day. And this is the time to actually remember whether you have done things according to your initial motivation, whether you have done things right, whether you have done some mistakes. If any mistakes have occurred during the day, it is important to actually recognize them and say, yes, you know, I did this and that mistake today, and I'm confessing this mistake, I'm recognizing it, and I hope that tomorrow I will not do the same mistake. I'll try to do something better tomorrow. I'll try to avoid it. I'll try to do something which will be more beneficial. And as we say, at the end of the day, it is very important to do the proper dedication. So dedicate whatever virtue you have been able to generate, not only towards your own well-being, but rather towards the enlightenment of all other sentient beings. If you do a dedication like that, then this ensures that the root of the virtue that you have created will not go to waste. And Rinpoche made an analogy here, and he said it is very much like generating a little bit of money during a day, not a big amount, even if it is a small amount of money. If you take it straight away into the bank, then you're not going to lose your capital, and on the top of that, you're going to receive some interest. So what you're doing here with the dedication is that you're taking your root of virtue, no matter how limited it is, and it is as if you are depositing it into, let's say, the bank of sentient beings, right? So you put your virtue there, and you don't lose the root of virtue, but on top of that, you are increasing it, right? So this is the right way to go about with your motivation at the beginning and the dedication at the end.
That ဒီနောင်နေရောင်းကကြီးလောင်းမရှုတမိကြီးရနေရှူရရင်ကံကကြီးမမောင်းလာဖန်ထောက်ရကကြီးတရားစွာဒီနောင်ရတန်တကငွားဒီတညမကြီးကကြီးဝရနေကျကမခကြီးကနိကပ်ကကြီးဝရနေဝကြီးဒါဒဝကြီးကကြီးဝရနေလူလူခကြီးကကြီးဝရနေဝကြီးဒါရောင်းကကြီးဝမာစီရင်ကငှားချောင်းစံပကြီးဝမောင်းပြီးရောင်းရကကြီးကကြီးဝတတဝကြီးဝဒီတိစံကကြီးဝတမ်းကြီး
Dharamsha was saying, actually, if we look at this example of depositing your root of virtue into this particular bank of sentient beings through your dedication, in a sense, it is quite similar to, you know, depositing money in the bank. And you see that some people put the money in the bank just for their own use, right? They are the only ones who have access in this account, and they intend to put the money in the bank so that they will use the money only for themselves, for their own benefit, for their own enjoyment. You have other people who might open an account in the bank and put money there that is intended to be used, let's say, by a group or by a society, right? So there are always two ways of using money. You can use money for a private cause, or you can use money for the public, right, to benefit the public. Similar thing can be applied here with the use of our virtue. And it is very important to dedicate whatever virtue we create towards a big goal. If you dedicate, you can see, you can dedicate the virtue of the practice of one day. You can dedicate the virtue that you have created over the months, over the years. You can dedicate the virtue that you can create over the three times. And all of it should be dedicated towards the well-being of all sentient beings, towards the enlightenment of all sentient beings. Because if you start saying, if you start thinking that is such a big way, and you say, I dedicate it for the sake of all sentient beings, because sentient beings are countless, the virtue you're actually creating by dedicating individually for each and every sentient being multiplies by the number of sentient beings that you are intend to use it towards. And since it is countless sentient beings, you're actually multiplying your virtue by countless times. So this is how dedication works. Also, it is important to know the difference between dedication and prayer. Dedication is a particular type of prayer. If it is a dedication, it is a prayer. But if it is a prayer, it's not necessarily dedication. Because the difference lies into the fact that if you're doing a dedication, then it means that you have some substance to dedicate towards something. Right, so in this particular case, we're using the virtue that we have generated and we dedicate it towards the well-being of all sentient beings. So the substance that is dedicated, the thing that is dedicated, exists and is this virtue that we have created. But when you're doing a general prayer, you don't necessarily have a substance to dedicate. So if you're just sitting there and you're thinking, may all sentient beings have happiness, you don't have something in particular in your mind that you're dedicating towards that happiness, right? It's a general thought. May all sentient beings be free from their suffering, right? It's a general prayer, but it's not a dedication.
What you Vajuda zambu shoba si jita dan. Da teni shamba monam niga vajuda sanji ga san yin dingi. Di shama ji shonji monam si jita da jazi shiva lari. Jita teni tangda ma dan diva jenga monam niga jitsangka ba san yin ga yuvarwa. Da monam dingi nansenga da tari kapsawa ba di zambu shoba monam da yin dingi. Da zambu shoba monam di papa kanda zambu se duna. わじゅうだ、さんじじょんでんでぐまにわしちんじぐなんせん。わじゅうだんぱぱかんでざんぼうせ。さんずくりてかかたんでしゅわやな。さめんだばちゃせ。わだせぼけらじなかんでざんぼうせじ。わだてもなんたびさがでじゅにわしちんじぐなんに。じもなんたばやなんちょばぷわやなんちょばちょんざんだんだぞ。ぱぱかんでざんぶまるじぐてくさんじわでぱぱじゃんにまるじぐじゃちわじゅいんぐいわり。わだ
Right, so actually Rinpoche is saying since we have given this, let's say definition or this way to make a distinction between dedication prayers and prayers in general, it is about time to shift our attention towards the particular text that will be taught tonight. This text is called actually the King of Prayers, so it's a particular type of prayer, and it has been composed by the great Lama Tsongkhapa. Now, if you look at the title of, composed by Buddha. Yeah. If you look at the title of the text, you will know that it is also known under the name Samantabhadra prayer. Now, it is known as Samantabhadra prayer because it is said that from among the eight bodhisattvas, the eight close disciples of the Buddha, Arya Samantabhadra had some particular qualities, had these particular qualities of an openness of the mind, and that was the prayer, the king of prayers, is describing the prayer of Arya Samantabhadra. The name Samantabhadra is the Sanskrit name. In Tibetan is Kuntu Sambu, which in English is translated as the noble in all ways, the supreme, the good in all ways, in all aspects.
おじいだ、ディナ、今、ディナ、パパ、ドンブ、ジョバ、モナムセ、ジディ、ジュ、サンジュ、サンジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジュ、ジ Javaga, Rambadi, Tinda Song Yuarua, Jazzy Jan Ju Sambi, Samjanga Don, the Molam Bumchok, Bumchok, Tom Maber, Siji Jina, Tom Maber, Molam Bumchok, Tom Maber, Oji Chitamba, Tom Maber, the Molam Bumchok, Tom Maber, that Chigini, Samjanga Ju Sin, the Chitamba. Tabiwari. What then do the Pavojiga put the Tugunanga, Mona Bumto, Tom Maber, Mumto, Tom Maber, G. Karasago, what you say you about the Sir Tondon Yambunda was Sir Duner, Sons of Adi, but that Zombojaba Monavi in G. Pavojiga, G. Karasago, Nanga Chachiji and Guyari. What the Kunda Zombojaba Monanga Namati Konga and the U.S. Sons of Dini.
Now, if we want to look at the origin of the text, or where can this text can be found, if we look at the collection of 101 volumes of teachings that we have, then from those 101 volumes, there are actually six volumes that are referring to, into great detail with the practices of the Bodhisattva. And it is said that there are countless types of prayers, countless types of training. It is called the Flower Ornament Sutra. In Sanskrit is called the Avatamsaka Sutra. And in that, as we say, we have countless, references to the practices of the Bodhisattvas. Those, although they are countless, they are actually are condensed and are enumerated as 10. And within those, we can find also this particular prayer, which is the Samanta Bhadra prayer. And Arusha was saying now that there is a particular location in China that is associated with Samanta Bhadra. In the name in Chinese, so I'm sorry for the pronunciation, right? It sounds something like Omi Shen. This Shen is translated, San, yeah, it's translated as mountain, right? So it's the location, the name of a mountain. Now, Ramshi was actually mentioning the names of other locations, so the names are actually in Chinese, and there are three different locations associated with other practices. So, for example, you know how we have the Five Peak Mountain, which is associated with the practice of Manjushri. I think the name of the place in Chinese is Utichen. Utashan, okay. And then you have Potoshan, which refers to Potala, which is associated with the practice of Chenrezig. And then finally we have another area which is translated, I won't even try to pronounce it, it's translated as the Nine Peak Mountain, which is associated with the practice of Kshita Bhadra.
Narita Tsudi Ju Sardoyona Sholoka Parchi to Chirisam Yamarchi Yokuyo. Ojida Kontarjan Madame Ji Ndudi Pavu Chiga Monam Bam Chok Tomeba Ojida Chitamba di Sir Dom Javanda Yinding. Tan Ji Denis Ombujaba Monam Gaton Ten Kongayan Juguni Tondi Gutsardamar Tili Jan Dujavadi Masi Antrak Mubajia di ຍະບະບະວິຈະຕັນຈິນບານະກັນດະຊົງບຸດທິອັນຕິຈັນເດດໍກັນຈິຍິຊະດໍລຸຈິກິວັນດໍຕັມຈິຣັບຕັງໂຊລຸຈຸລຸກາຈິຕະຊົງຈາບິຍະບະຕັນຈິຈິງວ່າກອງນາຍຫົດດັງວ່າດໍກະກິວິຊະວັນຕັງບຸຊຸຈິຣັບຕັງວ່າຈິຊິຈິຊຸລຸກາຍິບຸດທິວະຕະຕິກອງກາຍອັນສະດິນະຊຸລຸກາຍິກະນໍດູຈາວາຍິນດູວ່າຊິຈິຕະຊຸລຸກາຍິບຸດທິຕິນດະກະມະດາດົມດະວຸຈິຍິນດິງທີ່ກອງກາ
Now, if we look at Samanta Bhadra prayer, we see that it's quite extensive. It comes to a total of 63 verses. And as we say, within those 63 verses, we have the meaning of those 10 different categories that include the countless prayers and the countless practices of different bodhisattvas. But if when we talk...
Ten numberless, the 100,000 prayer.
So if we want to talk about the condensed meaning of this particular long prayer, you would find it in verses 55 and 56, which are the usual dedication prayers that we do at the end of the teachings as well, where it says, however the brave Manjushri obtain omniscience, and in the way that Samanta Bhadra too, I also fully dedicate all this virtue in order to train in the footsteps of them all. And the next verse, 56, where it says, all the conquerors, the Tathagatas of the three times, pray dedication are supreme. I also dedicate fully all this root of virtue towards the noble contact. So these two verses actually summarize the meaning of this prayer.
Now, regarding the presentation of this text, it will be based on the commentary that was composed by the Mongolian Lama, whose name is Chalung Pandita. And if we look at the beginning of the commentary, we will see that the explanation of this text is presented in four parts. First of all, we have the meaning of the name of the text, which is followed by the remaining parts of the text. And regarding the meaning of the name of the text, you can see that in Sanskrit, it is called Arya Bhaja Charya Pranidhana Raja. Now, in Tibetan, you find the name in Tibetan under that, which is called Papa Sambo Jubin Menlem Ki Gelpo. And in English, Arya means Arya. Praja actually means Zambo, the noble, right, the Arya noble. Charya means contact. Pranidhana means prayer. And Raja means Gelpo, means king. Yeah, Gelpo, king. Now, after that, we actually find the homage of the translator, and you see, it says here, prostrate to the youthful Manjushri. The reason why the homage is offered is so that the task of composition will be completed. And as you can see, there is composition. The body of the text includes quite a lot of verses. Some of them refer to practices that bodhisattvas do when they are still into the level of the grant of resolute activities, and the remaining is for bodhisattvas who have moved into higher paths.
Jangan sedih dua jangan ya. Udah tindak gue rembat dia lah. Cini sedang manis orang. 담지 접이 정주 전부는 거기서 뛰어와도 어디 연락 등거 고니 차가 상한 거 유아리 드바이 상한 거 유아 연두 뛰던 생거를 말아 지금 동부 말하지 몰라면 접어 저다 사장 정 냠네 지셔바 시지디 동부당 어디 되니 니와디 정주 생부 몰라면 지 람바 냠세레 내야 무당 다디 니와지 선바디 지금 다디 유거자니 몰라면 열라시면 반영하시 된다고 몰라면 지 삼비나라 작은 딘레진의 평화제 진보유 딘이 디지바 오다 딘이 지그 디예라 작딘이 그 지그 정보쇼비 모남가 측디 칸인 돈바랑 평화 삼지마 제바유와 연두 다 디지 군이 상황구요 딘이
Now, if you actually go at the end of the booklet that has been prepared, you can see the outlines of the King of Prayer, and you can see that the main point, body of the text is divided in four main parts. You can find those in bold capital letters. So the first part has to do with accumulation and purification, and this covers the first 12 verses. When we talk about accumulation and purification, of course, we're talking about accumulation of favorable conditions and purification of negativity, obscurations, and so forth. Then the second part of the body of the text is the actual practices of that are explained in this Bodhisattva prayer. The third part of the text has to do with the benefits of having paying attention to this prayer, of having committed this prayer to one's mind. And the fourth one is teaching the benefits of reciting this text, of remembering it and so forth. And it is said that there are inconceivable benefits related to these activities.